Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to a special ODAC podcast. My name is JJ Nekoloff. I'm the Associate Commissioner with the Old Dominion Athletic Conference. And as always, I'm joined by Commissioner Brad Banks. And Brad, how are you today in Lexington at the Wrestling Championships?
It's I'm fortunate we're inside, JJ. It's one for the birds out there today. I think the birds are even going for shelter. Happy to be inside. Let's say that. Cold and rainy.
I hear you on that one. I'm inside as well. Been the fourth day in here in the chlorinated air of the Greensboro Aquatic Center at our swimming championships. So, folks, if you hear some different things in the background, doors opening, things happening, it's because we're both on site at separate ODAC championships. Brad's in the middle of the wrestling championships right now at Washington and Lee's Richard L. Duchossois Athletic and Recreation Center. And I'm down here with ODAC Director of Championships, Stacey Staley, at the swimming championships as we conclude up this four-day extravaganza today, as we've got one more finals round starting at 5 o'clock p.m. tonight. And Brad, it's been a heck of a championship over here. As I look at my results table that I've got up on the ODAC website, there are 8 events on the men's side that have a new record that was set. 7 of them have new overall and championship records. And the 8th one has just, I put that in air quotes, just a championship record being set. And the majority, all but one event, or all but 2 events that have been competed so far on the men's side also have NCAA B-cut qualifiers, and some of those have multiples. Our first, second, and even third place finishers in an event or two have qualified for the NCAAs, if you will. Now, will they be invited? We'll have to see, because those times change every year, the last invited time and who qualifies. But we'll go from there. On the women's side, just one NCAA B-cut. So, you know, 2 schools of thought here is that, you know, maybe our women swimmers aren't at the same level that they've been at in the past, or those previous women swimmers were just really, really good. And this year's swimmers are still really good. They're just not quite at that level that we saw those records set. But we've had good, fast times here at the Greensboro Aquatic Center, so it's been nice to see. I know you were here for a couple days before that. So what were your takes from swimming before leaving to head to wrestling?
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask that question. You were alluding to the number of records or B-cuts that have been accomplished on the men's side. I'm wondering if maybe the depth of the men's competition is better than it's ever been. And I was leaning in the same direction you were on the women's side to say that some of the accomplishments and success stories that we've had on the women's portion of swimming has been so impressive over the years that, you know, maybe this just may be a year where it's hard to reach those numbers that were pretty hard to reach anyway, you know. From the men's side, I was really impressed. I just had multiple comments today, this morning, when we were setting up for wrestling, how fun that championship is to attend and how much of a pleasure it is. The cultural differences in sport, to see student athletes from all different teams there supporting and cheering on their peers, but from different teams and for accomplishments and PRs. And you'll watch a final and, you know, there's a loud burst of cheering when somebody finishes 5th, and you think to yourself, well, you know, that was probably a pretty significant finish for that individual, and the team's ecstatic. And at the same time, when you have individual stuff you have going on, you also have team scoring that's going on, and sometimes those points mean a lot for where people finish when it's all said and done on Saturday. So, super opportunity to get to experience a great venue and some awesome competition with our student athletes, and then making the transition to Lexington and being here with wrestling today. And, you know, if you think track is organized chaos, it's always worth going to visit a track wrestling championship, because, with 2 mats, it seems like to me it's really hard to follow. I can't imagine going to championships where there's 4 and 5, 6 mats on the floor and teams running from one place to the other. But great opportunity to see some really good wrestling today, and look forward as we head out through the rest of the afternoon into finals that start tonight at 7.
Yeah, it's flying around right now. It looks like we've got several of the final bouts set in the weight classes here. As I go not quite to 285, 190, 197 here, if I can get past all the abs, and I'm not quite there. You're not there at that point. 84, not yet. 74, let's see here. Nope. 65, nope. So it looks like maybe halfway there.
Halfway there in the semifinals today. Yep. When I came up to sit down with you, we were in 141 semis.
Yep. I'm seeing that right now. So, and that's that's the matchup I think everybody was looking for, at least from the lighter weights here, is you've got Josh Wilson, the reigning national champion at 141 pounds, going up against Mark Samuel, who's also nationally ranked inside of the top five with him from Roanoke College. So that'll be a heck of a final going on there. 133 is set with Paulino and Zaccardi from Roanoke and W&L, and Mason Barrett and another Paulino at Roanoke set at 125. So definitely moving along there. Looking forward to seeing what can happen. Obviously, this morning, I think you handed out a trophy to Roanoke College for winning the dual season, right?
Sure did. We had an opportunity when we recognized our senior wrestlers to honor Roanoke's team for their accomplishment of finishing undefeated in the dual portion of the schedule. And as the conference and coaches have agreed, we name our conference champion based on the dual season finish. So congrats to Coach Yetzer. We've had an opportunity to talk to him on the podcast and, you know, for what was a flawless regular season. And again, I'm sure they're hoping continuing that through the conference championships here, moving on to regionals and nationals.
Yeah, no, I think we're looking forward to some really good things coming from our wrestling ranks. I know there's a couple guys that are ranked nationally and certainly within the region that aren't competing this weekend, and that happens for various reasons. Some people might be dinged up a little bit and need to get healthy before the regionals, or one way or another just couldn't make it here this weekend for it. But we understand that all of our teams have fairly deep rosters and whatnot. Maybe some of the newer ones are still building up their rosters a little bit, but we got lots of guys and go several places deep. So still looking for an outstanding final tonight. As Brad mentioned before, that starts at 7:00 PM on Saturday evening for the championship finals, if you will, but still plenty of other wrestling to happen there with the consolation semifinals and finals coming up. So we should have lots of things going on throughout the rest of the day there in Lexington for you. It's a tough time of the year for everybody right now. We call it crossover season, but when we're looking at the amount of athletic directors that have been down here for swimming, I'm sure the people that are there supporting their wrestling programs in Lexington, that's all knowing that baseball, softball, men's and women's lacrosse, men's and women's tennis have joined men's volleyball and men's and women's basketball in action all right now, to the point where Monday we're going to have 16 players of the week come out, the biggest player of the week allotment in ODAC history that's going to come through there. So if I'm a little frayed in the office on Monday, there's a reason for it. And then not to mention, we got four more coming on Tuesday with indoor track and field on the men's and women's side. And I think we've got head-to-head equestrian again too. So for the week, it'll be 22 athletes of the week. And thank the Lord that golf isn't competing yet. Otherwise, that would be two more on Wednesday that would come across.
So, I think golf's coming around the corner, man. It won't be long before they're going to be on the golf course. But hopefully we'll certainly be out of making some of the selections for the winter sports at that time. So give you a little bit of a relief valve on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. But as we take a look at some more of the winter sports here, getting into the championship season, some more, we've got basketball and indoor track and field that are still going in their regular seasons. Indoor track is a little bit different, and we call it the quote regular season. They've got a bunch of last chance meets, last chance qualifiers that'll come up. But they're continuing on. How they earn places for the national championships will be determined by their rank in the final listings on Direct Athletics, or TFRRS.org. If you wanted to go look it up there, the ODAC has a performance chart. There's regional performance charts, and then the national performance chart, which is the one that'll dictate where our ODAC people are going to be and who qualifies for the nationals this year. So that would be something to keep an eye on over the next several weeks before we get to the championship on March 1 and 2 at Roanoke College in the Bass Krager Fieldhouse, or the Krager Fieldhouse there at the Krager Center. But we've got basketball going on as well, and what we've seen here is 2 weeks of the first NPI rankings that have come out. They released ones on February 2nd. And then one's on February 9th. So we haven't really seen an update just there. I've got those up in front of us. And let's go ahead and let's start on the women's side of the ball here right now, Brad, because I know you've got the schedule up in front of you there. But we've got three schools in the top 100 of the NPI right now. Randolph-Macon continuing just to roll with that 20-game winning streak they have going on right now. They're 11th. With a 62.255 ranking, and I won't talk about those numbers whole much, but they're 11th there. 27th is where Washington Elite is, and if we learned anything maybe from the fall sports with soccer, those two rankings, let's say if they don't win the ODAC title, they're relatively safe about getting in as an at-large bid. If the season were to end right now, where the AQs are going to be, those are pretty safe spots for it. WNL getting close to the line on that one, but should feel good about it. Now, where Bridgewater is at 39th, that's going to get a little bit iffy, and it all depends on where the AQs come from about if that's good enough or if they need to take a couple more steps here moving forward. And then Shenandoah has got the 86th NPI. There are, I think, 430-some-odd schools that that compete in women's basketball in Division III. Yep. Let's see here, 421. The ODAC is inside 386. That's where the lowest rank on the ODAC women's basketball side. So I know we've got some big matchups coming up here over the last week and a half plus of the regular season. Brad, talk to us about what we've got there on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, I think when you're looking at the schedule today, the game that stands out to me is the Washington Elite Shenandoah matchup in Winchester at 2:00. And then the rest of the games that are there, there's obviously a lot of positioning going on to determine who makes the tournament and what seed you may be. But for the most part, the games that are the rest of the way, at least for today's action, you know, appear to be, fairly balanced. I think we've got Guilford playing Randolph, which I think that's going to be a big game as well as we head forward to the tournament, determining who's in and again, what seed you are. And part of the importance of the discussion about seeding this year is different. The component of where we've been in the past is that we've had quarterfinals at the Salem Civic Center. This year, we're having quarterfinal matchups at home, home court advantage for the top four seeds in the league. So I think that's going to make things a little bit more interesting, so to speak. Looking into Wednesday, of course, we're also looking at the possibility of having 10 inches of snow on Wednesday, the last forecast I saw last night for the Mid-Atlantic, which will make things really interesting as we get towards the end of the year. You got a Bridgewater-Roanoke College matchup on Wednesday evening that I think could be a very interesting ball game on the women's side. And then wrapping things up on the 22nd, we've got a couple games, but not a lot of games that would be like at the top. But again, I think a lot of opportunity for institutions to play themselves in and out of hosting and or making the tournament. So as we prepare for the final weekend of basketball, have an opportunity to get together this week and wrap swimming and wrestling. Maybe we'll hop back on with people as we get closer to the weekend and start talking about the possibilities for the basketball tournament and indoor track.
No, you're right. And I think Randolph-Macon, with that 20-game winning streak, they put themselves in a great spot in the standings. It's ODAC policy that we don't talk about any of the seedings or make any determinations publicly until the regular season is over. But just looking at the standings here, Randolph-Macon has got a 2-game lead on Washington and Lee and Bridgewater. They're 13-0. Washington, Lee and Bridgewater are 11-2. So there's another big game coming in there for Macon with, I think, Shenandoah here during the midweek. And I think that game's going to be moved to Tuesday if it hasn't already because of the weather that's coming in, and it'll be at Randolph-Macon. I actually may go up there and help them out with that just because of a different day. There's some shortages, some people help out. So I could be able to see that one firsthand, so that would be nice. On the men's side, we've got two big streaks going on the men's side right now. Randolph-Macon has won 16 straight. So, heck, Randolph-Macon basketball, they haven't known losses in 36 combined games. That's pretty impressive on both of those sides for head coaches Lindsey Burke and Josh Merkel, respectively, of the women's and men's programs. And then Hampton-Sydney has won 10 straight, and they still have that percentage point lead, if you will, in the standings on Randolph-Macon at 13-1 over 12-1. And then Roanoke is there at 12-2. And then you get Virginia Wesleyan and Guilford at 10-3 and 10-4. The NPI is fairly reflective of what we see there. Two teams in the top 10 with Randolph-Macon number 6 and Hampton-Sydney number 8. And I could see that, maybe improving a little bit more. Depends on how those results go toward the end of the season and into the tournament. But then Roanoke and Virginia Wesleyan are right there at 37-38, and Guilford's at 51. So if we take the same thing that we applied to women's basketball just now, Randolph-Macon, Hampton-Sydney are in great shape. If one of them doesn't win the ODAC AQ, if it happens to be one of those two, or if it's going to be Roanoke, Virginia Wesleyan, or Guilford, or even somebody else, there's a lot of good things coming down. But it's that Roanoke and Virginia Wesleyan 37-38 where they're probably on the outside of the border looking in now. So those numbers need to improve just a little bit here for them to get an at-large bid if they don't win the AQ. So that's the good thing about this NPI is if you pay attention to it, you look at it and you follow it along as we get to the final weeks here, there's really no surprise of whether you're in the field or not. And quite frankly, that's a good thing for the national committees too, because now instead of picking teams, they can focus on how the bracket's going to look, where it's going to play out, what they can do with the allotted flights that they have when it comes down to budgetary numbers and whatnot. So instead of staying up until all hours of the morning, actually selecting the teams coming in and trying to apply subjective material objectively or as objective as possible, now the computer is doing it all objectively and the transparency is right there. So you know what number you got to get to, you know where you feel like you know where the AQs are coming from. So you got to work to get to that point here. And that means winning games. Above all, that means winning games. Brad, we've got some games coming up that are going to be pretty good in the men's schedule here for the remainder of the season. Talk about what we've got on the slate.
Yeah, well, you know, I think right off the bat this weekend, one of them that stands out to me is a Hampton-Sydney-Roanoke game that's going on this afternoon in Salem. Game starts at 2 o'clock, which will be a big deal for certainly both of those teams. I think Roanoke's played well, had a really good season playing Hampton Sydney at home. Obviously, is a tough go. Playing Hampton Sydney over the last couple of years has been a very difficult, one to win. But you know, Roanoke's certainly playing for a lot and having that opportunity kind of be right there in that talk about who's going to have the opportunity to host come quarterfinal time. So. Big game there. I think, obviously, for some of the other teams, you've got a Bridgewater-Virginia Wesleyan game that I think is big. You've got a Guilford-Eastern Mennonite Conference game that those teams are right there. When you're starting to look at the standings, you know, you've got Guilford sitting right there with Virginia Wesleyan for that 4-5 spot, and that's going to be a very difficult matchup, regardless of who ends up five. Having to play that quarterfinal there at the four seed is going to make that difficult. And wrapping up the standings currently right now, Ferrum's at 7-6, University of Lynchburg is 6-7, and Washington Lee is 4-9, and that's our top eight right now. So a lot still could happen at the bottom. You've got Washington Lee, Averett, Bridgewater, kind of all there at 4-9, 3-10 in the league, which, you know, give or take, as you know, can certainly end up being a very interesting couple of play dates towards the end of the season. On Wednesday, I think another big one there for Lynchburg would be against Bridgewater. They're at Bridgewater on Wednesday night. And the game that really stands out from the top half of the bracket certainly is Virginia Wesleyan and Randolph-Macon. That game's going to be at Randolph-Macon. Randolph-Macon won the first bout between those two, which always are tightened matchups in the ODAC over the last number of years. They won the game at Virginia Wesleyan, so they'll have a chance for a rematch in Ashland on Wednesday. And then wrapping up on Saturday as we head towards knowing where everybody's going to finish out, not a lot of games that are really standout games, but I think there are going to be some big games that have a lot of bearing on who ends up in the tournament and who doesn't when it comes to Saturday. As you started talking about MPI, JJ, and I'd add this. When you're talking about those teams that are towards the bottom of the list and we start looking at who has an opportunity to qualify for NCAA play, you really start looking at who are they playing from here on out, right? Who's left in the regular season? If they win, is that going to eliminate another win that helps them or hurts them when it comes to their numbers, right? So when you look at a Guilford, you know, their matchups are not as promising from an NPI standpoint for them as they get towards the end of the year. Certainly where they're sitting right now, I think you said somewhere in the 50s, it's going to be a pretty important run for them to either win the conference tournament or really filter their way in with some really good matchups and some victories in the conference tournament along the way to the title. If they don't win the title, winning a couple games there at the end could maybe put them over. But we'll have to wait and see. And still, again, three play dates left to play with today, Wednesday, and the following Saturday.
No, I don't want to put the kibosh on anything here real fast, but what do we want to call it here? The ODAC podcast jinx, but...
Oh, Lord, Roanoke no. There's no such thing. That doesn't exist.
Roanoke started off gangbusters here. It was 15-2. Roanoke over Hampton Sydney was 16-48 when Coach Kimbrough called a timeout. Just looking at the live stats, they started 6-6 and 3-3 from deep. So, folks, you know, we're obviously recording this during the middle of the day on Saturday. It's 2:12 on my clock right now, And Roanoke's got that big early lead, but as we know, everything in college basketball, college sports really in general, no lead is ever safe. So get ready for the Tigers here to make a run. But this is a good game here. Tune into that one. We've got lots of good games. Obviously, the weather has impacted a lot of things here this week in the midweek, and it's going to do it again to us next week with it coming in, as we already have games being rescheduled that we've alluded to a couple times here. So make sure you're paying attention to schedules, both the school schedules, their social media feeds, the ODAC schedules. It's a little bit finicky when it comes to us that we got to do some things manually to make sure the website is updated properly, but the school schedules would be a great spot to come at for stuff like that, especially with the host school, so that we know when things are moving around. I know that we've got some lacrosse games that have already moved over, like that Randolph-Macon day on Tuesday is going to be doubleheader lacrosse and doubleheader basketball. So it's going to be a busy one up there in Ashland for them. But lots of things going on. Baseball was already gotten out there. We've got some good wins on the baseball path. Softball was starting this weekend. Women's lacrosse was starting this weekend. And then men's lacrosse started a little bit last weekend, but was really getting going this weekend here. So we've got some good action there. And then also men's and women's tennis is going on. I think there's a tournament being hosted by Washington and Lee, isn't it? Aaron Ness is calling it the Groundhog Palooza, I believe.
Well,
is
what you're whatever, calling it. Whatever it is today, Punxsutawney Phil is drowning. I'll just tell you that.
But the good thing is there is they've got that indoor facility, so I imagine they're all there.
I would hope so, because there's no tennis going on outside today, I can assure you.
Yeah.
JJ, I think as we start to prepare for, you know, the spring seasons, it's disappointing to have some winter weather. And I think we've been spoiled, certainly over the last number of years, of not having to experience a lot of snow on the ground. But, fearful, certainly middle of the week, that we may end up with some weather. And, you know, unfortunately for us, I mean, this is kind of a destination spot this time of the year as people start spring breaks. And, of course, we're not at that point yet with the end of February, first part of March. But having the opportunity to be outside and play, I think, has been an advantage that our spring teams have when other teams in the Northeast, specifically the Midwest, don't have that opportunity to get outside as early as we do. And we've been a destination for a lot of games and a lot of non-conference opportunities for our team. So my hope is that we'll continue to hopefully have some improving weather. If we have some weather this week, that things brighten up and we get an opportunity to get outside and take advantage of what is, in my opinion, a decided advantage for our institutions to be able to get on those ball fields a little bit sooner in the spring and get a jump on people.
You know, it was actually fun watching a little bit last week when Averett was out there playing baseball, and I think they had a walk-off win in their opening series. But you can tell the Bermuda grass because it's still brown out there. Just like looking at, you know, growing up with some of those golf courses in the Cleveland area, they play a lot of normal bent grass and regular grass up there that stays green as it can be in the Ohio area. But every now and again, you got some of those that had the Bermuda and they would stay brown until it got 70 degrees consistently. And that's what we were seeing with Averett's baseball field there last weekend.
Yeah, no kidding. It's an exciting time. I think we seem to talk about that even the fall to the winter, the winter to the spring. A lot of people going in a lot of different directions, but we wish our student athletes, our coaches, and our institutions the best as we continue to kind of make this swing and look forward to kind of getting back together again, hopefully sooner rather than later, and have an opportunity to talk to some women's and men's basketball either players or coaches next week as we get ready for the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good opportunity for us because we'll be in Salem with both of those events coming up in, I think, a little less than 2 weeks now, I guess we would say. So the basketball tournament obviously begins on campus on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 25th and 26th, I think, of February, with the women playing on that Tuesday, quarterfinals on campus, the men on that Wednesday. And then we hit the Salem on Friday, the 28th, and that'll be the women's semifinals at 5 and 7:30. Followed on that Saturday by the men's semifinals at 2 and 4:30 in the women's championship at 8 o'clock that night. And then the men's championship at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And then Saturday and Sunday, we have a full day of indoor track and field just across the street at Roanoke College in the Kreger Center, where they're doing track and field all day on Saturday and all day on Sunday. And then we'll do some awards kind of later in the week for that, but also expect basketball conference on that Thursday in between the quarterfinals and semifinals. So we got award season coming about, crossover season with spring sports, championships still going about. And oh, by the way, we host the national championships for swimming and diving and women's basketball on the same weekend in the middle of March. So that'll be fun for all of us here as we split staff and make that happen for everybody along, not just in the ODAC country, but in Division III. So we've got a lot of things to bring forward to you in the future. For Brad Baxton, my name is JJ Nekloff. We look forward to talking to you next time on the ODAC podcast.